It's lovely to worship the Lord, isn't it? Of all the different things I do in my work, that's a favourite. I just love it. Fantastic. On Wednesday, with this day of prayer, as many of you know, because we've been doing it for a while, we have a worship hour between 12:45 and 1:45 every Wednesday. But of course, this Wednesday, it'll be in the middle of this day of prayer. And sometimes it's good just to take a longer time where you can really get into the worship, you know, where you're not in a rush and there's not something else coming up, but just so you can soak the goodness and soak the presence and soak the love. And that song we just sang, Day and Night, it's taken from a picture that, you know, a vision that the Apostle John had of the book of Revelation, where he saw the angels that were closest to God that were falling down day and night and just worshipping without ceasing. And the more we see God as he is, the harder it is to stop worshipping, because it's just so amazing. Yeah, it's just like when you walk up to the top of a mountain and you open your eyes, you look at the view and you just say, wow. And God's like that, except the view is 10,000 times, 10,000 times more. And every direction you look at God, there's just more beauty, more love, more power, more magnificence, more understanding, more compassion. God is so amazing. And, you know, sometimes in worship you have to look by faith as you turn your eyes towards him and you try, you do your best to sing and to connect somehow. You might seem like at the start you're not really connecting, but as you give yourself to that, somehow the eyes of your heart become opened and then you can see more and more as you go along. So do come along if you're free on Wednesday. This is the leaflet I was talking about earlier. Do take this. This is the prophetic conference. Anne Griffiths is an amazing lady. I worked with her in the early 2000s, and she was working in the National Prayer Movement for France. And, you know, some people are a little bit scary to meet because they seem to know what God has to say for your life. And sometimes it's great to meet people like that. If you're not sure what you should do, come and meet a prophet. And she lives in a prophetic community with a number of other people. She's lived like that for 19 years. And I believe a number of the community, four or five of them, should come up for this weekend. So if you want to hear something from God for your life, of course, no guarantees, but she's a prophet of God. And it'd be great to come along for that time. The PowerPoint keeps coming up and down. There we go. It's crashed. It's crashed. All right. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the life of Zacchaeus and some lessons from this well-known story. So first of all, I'll read you the Bible story. I was going to put it on the screen, but that's not going to happen. So it's here we are. It's from Luke's Gospel. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was so short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now, Zacchaeus is a favourite story, isn't it, from Sunday school days. And perhaps many of us sung the song when we were younger about the little man called Zacchaeus. But we can learn some lessons for our Christian life and witness from Zacchaeus today, I believe. So just to start off thinking about Zacchaeus, what sort of a man he was. Well, he was a tax collector. How many of you like to pay tax? Yeah? It's not our favourite thing, is it? Filling in that form, and, you know, I think a lot of people feel a bit of resentment to give that money to the government. We've worked hard for it, and why should we give it to them for wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and all the things that they do? Nobody likes to pay taxes. But especially the Jews at the time of Jesus didn't like to pay taxes because they were their nation had been taken over by a foreign power. Like if the armies of Europe invaded and took over our country and we were paying taxes to them. Well, perhaps we are, or perhaps we won't be soon. Who knows? I'm not getting into that. But for the Jews, they didn't like to pay taxes to the Romans. They didn't want the Romans there at all. They hated them. They resented paying taxes. And the tax collectors, they were hated because they'd betrayed their own people. They sided with the hated Romans. They collaborated with them. And most of the time, you know, they had soldiers with them, and so the people could do nothing. They could charge them what they wanted. And they give this much to the Romans and they keep this much for themselves. They made themselves fat out of fleecing the people. Being a tax collector was bad enough. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. So it wasn't just him. He had an army of mean little parasites that would scour the countryside, looking for homes and working people that they could fleece. Anyone that they could find money out of. So you can imagine how popular he was. He was a filthy traitor who betrayed his own people to collaborate with the occupying armies of the Romans. He was hated. He was spat at. He was shunned. He had no friends apart from those that the other ones that collaborated with the Romans, or those that could be bought by money. He was very rich, but very lonely. Sometimes it's easy to dislike people, isn't it? Do you have people in your life that you don't like? Really? Don't we? I mean, there are people, aren't there? Often relatives, work colleagues, people that, you know, from our perspective, they've done bad things to us. They've said bad things, or they've treated us in a bad way. They've perhaps betrayed us in some way. They're mean, they're unkind to us. And isn't it easy to want bad things to happen to people like that? Oh, we've got our... there we go, whiz through. There we go. So it's easy to want bad things to happen to people like that. One more thing though about Zacchaeus, it says he was very short. I don't know if any of you are vertically challenged. Yeah, we've got one or two hands there. But you know, sometimes, perhaps especially for boys, if you're vertically challenged, you can be really picked on at school, can't you? You can be bullied. Your life can be made misery. You can never be picked for the games, you know, that the other children are picked at. And perhaps because of that reason, you know, Zacchaeus was always squashed, always pushed down. Perhaps for that reason, that's why he thought, when I get older, I'm going to get even with the others. And perhaps that's why he betrayed his own people to side with the Romans. But one thing about Zacchaeus, he was desperate. And do you know, outwardly, to look at Zacchaeus, you wouldn't think that he needed help. He had lots of money, probably had a lovely house, servants, security, everything that money could buy. He looked like he had it all together. We can tell that he was desperate because of the lengths he went to see Jesus. He must have heard about this man that befriended people like him. Jesus, even one of his disciples, was a tax collector, Matthew. And, you know, Zacchaeus, on the outward, it looked like his life was all together. But on the inside, he was desperate. And, you know, I just want to tell you this morning that there are many people that you and me meet that are like that. People that you think have got everything together. They might have a rich house, they might have good job, lovely car, family, beautiful wife and children, and all of that. And to look at them, you think they've got everything. But on the inside, often people like that are crying out for help. It's often not the ones that you think that are desperate. People don't share their desperation with you and me easily. Do you know, you meet someone who's desperate and you go, how are you? Fine, thank you. How are you? I'm fine. And how's your family? Fine. Everything's fine. Why is it that people that are so desperate on the inside, they don't seem able, do they, to share that desperation? And people are often so empty in their life. They're so looking for God. We think that they're not interested in God because they don't come to church. But, you know, these days people are actually not interested in this activity that we do. They're not. People aren't interested in coming to religious services, but they are interested in God. They're interested in the meaning of life. They're interested in discovering how can they connect with God. And so, you know, one of the lessons from the life of Zacchaeus was this, that many people are desperate. I've said that already. Most of Jesus' work was outside of the church. It really was. You know, there were 37 different miracles recorded in the Gospels. How many of those do you think took place in the synagogue? 37 recorded miracles. Just 3. Less than 10% of the recorded miracles, not even 10%, took place in his church. Jesus didn't wait until people came to church. Of course, while he was in church, he touched those who needed helping. But he went out to those who perhaps never even came into the synagogue, and he took his message to where they were. And we need to find a way to do that, don't we? It isn't easy to do because people, you know, desperate people somehow don't want to let us into their lives. But it doesn't need to stop us from trying. Zacchaeus was desperate, so desperate that he didn't mind losing his dignity by climbing up a tree. So for a little man who was well known and hated by the community, you know, he was just asking for someone to knock him out of the tree, wasn't he? You know, to get up the tree and to sit there where everyone could see him and laugh and knock him, that shows how desperate he was. And people are that desperate to find some meaning in life. It's amazing that 1.2 million people in Britain have done the Alpha Course. People don't want to come to church, but they're willing to sit down and do something like that in their own home or in someone else's home, in a little group, to do something like the Alpha Course where they can actually talk about God and discuss things in a non-threatening way, you know, ask whatever question they've got without someone judging them. And, you know, I just really want to encourage at you, any of you, if you have friends or families or neighbours who aren't Christian, why don't you consider asking them if they'd be willing to do an Alpha course in their own home? We've got the technology now. We could give you the Alpha course on a USB stick. You could plug it into their smart television, or we could lend you a tablet that would plug into their telly or a laptop. And just you and two or three people could sit and do the Alpha course with your neighbour. They might never agree to come to church, but actually they might be interested to do that. You know, to ask questions about God in the privacy of their own home, or in your home, invite them over for a meal and do the Alpha course in that setting. People protect themselves with walls. Even the desperate people are stuck in this prison of their own making, like a tortoise hiding inside its shell. We need to somehow, you know, love people enough to make them feel safe to come out. And, you know, one of the things with Zacchaeus, why was he so willing for Jesus to come to his house? I think that Jesus had a key that helped, that unlocked that man. He was walking down the street. He'd never met Zacchaeus before. But I think that God had prompted him before he got there. You'll be going down that street and there'll be a man up in the tree. His name is Zacchaeus. And, you know, Jesus called Zacchaeus out by name. He'd never met him before, but he called up in the tree, "Zacchaeus, come down. I want to come to your house for tea." Maybe Jesus didn't know anything else about him, just those two things. But we need to be asking God to give us the keys that will unlock the castle that desperate people are hiding themselves in. You knock on the door and you say, "I want to invite you to church." "No, I'm not coming out for that." "I want to tell you about God." "I'm not coming out for that." But if you love them enough, you keep praying, you ask God, some point he'll give you a key. Or even for people that you've never met, you know, you could be walking down the street and God could give you a key, for having a key conversation. It's happened to me a few times recently that I've met someone I've never met before and I've just felt led to ask a particular question about them, and it's opened up a whole string of conversation that has enabled me to share something about Jesus. Ask God for keys that will unlock those gates that people hide behind. Remember this, that prayer is a missional activity. We can reach into those walls through prayer. In a minute we're going to watch a video that talks a little bit more about that. But, you know, why are we doing all this prayer here? It's not just that we like having religious meetings ourselves. We pray because we want people to come to know Jesus. And that day of prayer and fasting we're having on Wednesday, we're praying for people to meet with Jesus. Desperate people, young people, old people, families, you know, for the nation. We need to do something, don't we? And prayer is one of the best things that we can do to help reach people for Jesus. Jez, can we have that video? Yeah, I'll just come and find it. All right. Just one moment. Don't we love technology? Hopefully this will start. The speaking is in Dutch. But it has subtitles, but I'll read them as well in case you can't read the subtitles. Just lasts about 8 minutes.
Je bidt ergens voor, je gelooft ook ergens in, maar als het dan begint te gebeuren, dan ben je eigenlijk ook alweer een beetje verbaasd.
It's filmed in Rotterdam.
Kijk, als je echt een Feyenoord supporter bent, dan
if you're a fan of Feyenoord, you don't withdraw money at the ABN AMRO bank.
Zo werkt het wel.
That's just how it is.
Zo werkt het wel. En als je een echte Feyenoord supporter bent,
if you're a true fan of Feyenoord, there's no stopping.
Toen ik zelf echt jarenlang hier
I used to have season tickets for it.
Schoolfoto weer.
Every school picture year after year I wore a Feyenoord shirt.
Daarom had ik ook geen vriendinnetjes waarschijnlijk.
That's probably why I didn't have any girlfriends.
Je leeft ervoor en je staat ermee op.
It's your life all day, every day.
Zijn je helden.
They are your heroes. No other world than that very one. Feyenoord, oh Feyenoord.
Bij Feyenoord begint de wedstrijd.
With Feyenoord, the match doesn't start when the referee gives a signal.
Als de hekken hier open.
But it's game on when the gates are open.
Je ervaart ook als je in het stadion zit.
You get caught up in the emotions.
In de ambiance, in de sfeer. En mensen zijn helemaal radeloos.
People are desperate for what's happening here. Rotterdam hooligans.
Ik denk dat voor heel veel Feyenoord supporters
I think a lot of Feyenoord fans see this as their church
and
Feyenoord
as
their God.
En toch geloof ik
it was the same thing for me a long time ago, but now I believe in something else. Rotterdam, Shalom.
Three years ago,
October 2015, we got the keys to our new house.
We
had to get used to the neighborhood. Charlos is known for being one of the worst neighborhoods in the country. We invited our new neighbors and some of them came by to visit.
De buurman die boven ons woonde,
but our upstairs neighbor was reluctant. His name is Raymond.
Toen ik hem zag, toen
I knew this guy was trouble when I first saw
dit is echt een brute baas. Echt een Feyenoord supporter met
a true Feyenoord fan with SCF. Tattoos of SCF.
Vatos Locos.
Vatos
en ik weet gewoon vanuit mijn oude leventje dat termen zijn die echt
passen bij de harde kern. Those are terms commonly associated with hooliganism.
Ik snap het. Ik snap hoe
I guess it, the way he lives. And I get what his God is.
Dat snap ik. En dan ervaar je ook automatisch een soort van klik. Toen besefte ik me ook gewoon op z'n plat als er niks met deze man gebeurt, dan gaat hij naar de
klote.
En ik geloof niet dat God dat voor hem heeft. En ik geloof ook dat God soms in je leven specifieke mensen voor je neus kan plaatsen of in je omgeving kan plaatsen die hij je echt gegeven heeft om voor te strijden, om voor te bidden, om voor te gaan. En toen ben ik, toen zijn we letterlijk gaan bidden,
that he wouldn't sleep until he
dat
found
hij niet
Jesus.
Meer zou slapen tot hij Jezus zou vinden. Daar ligt iemand te slapen
someone
op dit moment, die
right
u niet kent,
does not know
die naar de klote gaat als er niks gebeurt.
Will go to hell if
u gaat
happens.
Ervoor zorgen dat hij
you
wakker
sure
is en dat hij
s'nachts
u te zien
until he finds you, God. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they
are yours.
En dat
hebben wij 3 maanden lang gedaan.
We did that for 3 months, consistently, thoroughly,
with faith that something would happen for a change. Dat er ook nou eens een keer echt wat zou gaan gebeuren. Ik bid dat hij vannacht
I pray
niet
he
slaapt
won't sleep,
en dat hij
look
in uw ogen gaat kijken, want ik geloof dat dat het bestemming is voor
mijn
leven.
Believe that's his destiny.
Ja, opeens ging de deur wel.
That's when the doorbell rang.
Raymond
it was Raymond. He said he wanted to tell us something.
Ik lig al 3 maanden wakker.
I've been laying awake for 3 months thinking about Jesus.
Je bidt ergens voor.
You pray for something.
Je gelooft ook ergens
you believe
in. Maar als het dan begint te gebeuren,
but when it
dan ben je eigenlijk ook weer een beetje verbaasd.
You're surprised.
Ik heb internet opgezocht dat Jezus jullie op een dag komt halen.
That Jesus will come and take
maar wat
you with
gebeurt
him.
Er met mij?
But what will happen to me?
En zo ging hij hier zitten.
That's how we sat down.
Die avond
right
hebben we het verhaal verteld van de verloren zoon.
We told him the story of the prodigal
son. Dat kende hij totaal niet.
He'd never heard of it.
Hij dacht dat de verloren zoon terug zou komen bij de vader.
He thought the son would return and his father would be so mad at him.
Hij helemaal verrot zou schelden. Dat zei hij ook. Want hij heeft zijn geld heeft hij verbrast.
He wasted all of his money.
Nou, ik kan me niet voorstellen dat hij staat te wachten. Ik denk dat hij hem verrot
schelt. He must be so pissed.
Ik zeg nee. De vader stond op de uitkijk, omarmt hem en geeft hem het beste wat hij heeft.
For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and
is dat ook niks voor jou dan?
I asked him if that sounded good. If that's your decision tonight, it'll be like that.
En toen heeft hij die avond heeft hij
so that's how he decided that night.
Ik heb vervolgens gebeden voor hem.
I prayed that the Holy Spirit may come into his life.
And
he testified later
dat het gevoel wat toen over zijn lijf ging, dat was
was if Jennifer Lopez called him to ask him if he wanted to be her boyfriend.
Zo heeft hij het omschreven.
That's how he described it.
In de zomer van 2016
gave his life to Jesus.
Is hij een dag later gedoopt.
He was baptized a day later and then it started happening.
Dat er hooligans van Feyenoord
the hooligans that went berserk for their club.
Nu op een plaat
now
gaan
went berserk for Jesus.
En ik merk in mijn hart dat er een vuur
there's a fire in my heart that says this is only the beginning.
Laat het koninkrijk wat in de hemel
kingdom
is.
Of heaven come and your will be done on earth.
Laat dat geschieden hier op aarde. De glorie die op dit moment in de hemel is, is ook de glorie die ik wil in Rotterdam. En stel je voor,
imagine
mijn vader ligt
te
slapen,
a friend
komt een vriend
by.
Aan de deur en die zegt, joh, ik heb brood
for
nodig voor kennissen die van ver zijn gekomen. Wat zal er gebeuren?
What will happen?
Dat Jezus dan
Jesus
dus in
says in Luke 11, verse 8.
Al zou hij niet opstaan
even
en zou geven,
will not get up and give you the bread because of his friendship.
Dan zou hij toch om zijn onbeschaamdheid
of your shameless audacity,
en hem
he surely get up and give you as much as you need.
En ik geloof dat Jezus wel duidelijk
and I believe is Jesus is trying to make a point. We can ask shamelessly for the bread that our Father has.
Als we daarmee mensen om ons heen tot
to bless the people around
dat
us. That's my conviction. Bremen's little brother Yuri found God soon after. He was a leader of the hardcore Feyenoord hooligans. 12 former hooligans who gave their life to Jesus come together weekly.
We merken dat het
a fire is set
is
to live up to the promise.
Meer en meer te gaan
leven. Ruben and Johan de Jong prayed daily for the world around them. They're involved
of
in Kingdom Life College
of Rotterdam Zuid.
No matter where you
gaap
live,
en durf
get on your knees and ask the Father shamelessly that people will see him. Good, well, that's all I've got to say, really, just to reiterate those points in headlines. People are desperate. They might not look it. The ones that look successful, many of them are desperate inside as well. They shut themselves up in their castles, but that doesn't mean that they don't want help. We need to ask God for keys to unlock those doors. And he'll give them to us. And especially if we keep praying and really pressing through, asking and demanding that God brings people to faith, then it will happen. Amen. Just one more thing. This week we're going to designate 1 week specially per month as a Watchman Week. We talked about that a few a couple of times ago when I preached. So the prayer chapel will be open through the week. And if any of you want to come in, if you find it more helpful to come in and book an hour or two to be in the house of prayer, just to pray. Sometimes at home there's so many distractions, aren't there? And we've already got a few people who've booked in. You can do that on the website. If you go on the King's Church website, there's a page where you can book an hour. If you don't like using computers, you can come anyway. But if you want to book an hour on the website, you can do that. And, you know, from 9 till 4 every day, the place is open, so you can just come in and be there to pray. Of course, you can pray at home as well. But for some people, it helps, doesn't it? You know, you can think you'll pray and you'd never get round to it. But if you book an hour and you come in, it can really help you. And in that hour, you know, that will really help you to meet with God. And it'll really help you to stretch your prayer life a little bit. So I really encourage you to do that. And the first week of every month, we're going to make it this Watchman Week, where those who want are welcome to book a slot and come into the prayer house to pray. All right, thank you. That's it for today. Don't forget tonight, 6:30,